Now, today, when it comes to music, it's really easy to get a playlist. Whether you use iTunes or Spotify, whatever the case may be, you say, give me a playlist of great 80s music. Clearly the best decade of music, 80s music, right? And so I can pull it up in no time and get a playlist. But before there were these playlists, there was something called a mixtape. Raise your hand if you ever made a mixtape on an actual cassette. Like on a cassette, you made a mixtape. All right, kids, you guys can Google that if you've never seen that happen. You know, if you don't know what a cassette tape is, ask AI. It'll show you what a cassette tape looks like. Okay, so let's say you wanted to make a mixtape on a cassette tape. Well, how did you get the right songs on the mixtape? What did you have to do? Okay. All right, so step one, you've got to have the cassette. You've got to have the radio. But how do you know whether you're getting the right song or not? Okay, you wait by the radio. But then how do you know then, though? Okay, well, sometimes they would. Okay, coming up next is the number one hit, or whatever it is. So that's one thing. Okay, you got to be patient. But how do you get more of the song or less of the song? Okay, all right. You could do that, yeah. But didn't you eventually have to figure out, man, if I can nail this song in the first few notes, I can hit record and know it's the song that I want and get the whole song, right? So can I identify with the fewest number of notes the catchy melody of the song? So if it's a catchy classic song like Eye of the Tiger, you could nail it on the first few notes. So somebody give me the first few notes of Eye of the Tiger. There we go, exactly, yeah, yeah. So if you heard that, you're like, bam, hit record, and you get it. Because you recognized the identifiable melody of the song. Well, brother, so it is, as we think about the scriptures, that just as every song has a melody, so every book of the Bible also has one. And so our principle, we call this melodic line, and the principle is this. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. So it's a melodic line. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. Like the others, we have a drawing for this. So the melodic line is a melody, a repeated set of notes in the song. Distinct musical phrase repeated over and over. And so in books of the Bible, there's typically a unique, coherent, sustained message that's repeated. And if we listen well enough to a book of the Bible, we can identify that. And once we have that, we'll see that every text in that book in some way interacts with the melodic line. It might be completely in line with it, it might be in contrast to it, or it might be supporting it. So the melodic line is the unique message of the book that we've worked to understand. We've tried to narrow it down even into one sentence. So one sentence description of what's the unique melodic piece of 1 Samuel. What's the unique message tone of 1 John? What's the unique message tone of the Gospel of Matthew? So in our work, as we're working on melodic line, we're asking the question, well, what is the message of this entire book? And then each week as we're working on these texts, we're then thinking about how does my text today, 1 Samuel 8, relate to the melodic line of the whole book? So that we're connecting our text each week to this melodic line. Now, this is a tool that's different than the other tools in that structure, you're going to do it every single week. Context, you're going to do it every single week. Connecting to the gospel, every single week. Whereas melodic line is not something you'll do every single week, but it's something you would do once typically. But also, if you're actually going to do it, you have to do it early because it takes time to do this. So if you're starting 1 Samuel next week, it's going to be tough to nail down the melodic line this week for that without rushing. So this would be something, the value of like planning your preaching a ways out. Let's say that you've come to this workshop where we're at the end of May, beginning of June, and you've decided, I'm going to give 1 Samuel a shot. And you're going to start it in October. Well, so now would be the time to, even now, just here and there, scattered throughout your time, that you would begin to do some work on the melodic line. So what are some things that we might do, some places we might look to try to uncover a melodic line? So what are some tools or strategies that we could use to try to get at the melodic line of a book? What do you think? Call those out.
Read it.
Good answer. Yeah, absolutely. Read it. Reread it. In addition to reading it, there's some things very similar to reading it that are likewise really helpful. What else might you do? Okay, outline it. Even before, you got to go to outline it. Say it again. Write it out, okay? Yeah. Shorter books, yeah. You could also listen to it. Right? You just have it on your player of whatever kind. Just listen to it over and over. Okay, outline it. Write it out. What else? Okay? Different translations, very wise and helpful. Great. You memorize it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Now then, as we're going to kind of dive into the text of the book, what are some things we might look for or look at that might help us to get at the message of the book? Yep. Okay? Look at the beginning and the end. This is true in lots of different books, right? If you read the first, you read the end. Read the beginning of the chapter, the end of the chapter. So sometimes we refer to this, and Simeon might use the term like top and tail. What's the top of the book say? What's the tail of the book say? It's not a surefire thing, but often can be something worth looking at. Okay, yeah, look at the headings that are in there. Good. What else? Yep. Excellent, repeated themes, keywords, repeated chiasms. I heard someone whispering from the back. Yeah. Good. What else? Okay. Look at the middle, see if there's a significant transition. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Some books, there might be a purpose statement. You think of any books that have a purpose statement in them? Okay, yeah. So sometimes, not often, but sometimes there's a purpose statement within the book. Sometimes there might be a structure, as you look at it, kind of a macro structure that you might find in the book. Other times that there might be some narrator's comments that are given to us. And so ideally, you have a significant period of time. So you're starting 1 Samuel in October, and so you've got 30 minutes on Wednesday. And you've got an appointment in 30 minutes, and you're like, hey, I remember we talked about melodic line, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do my first sort of dipping of the toe into this. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read it. Probably just try to read it in one sitting. There's value of that. Just kind of reading it straight through. Just kind of jot down some notes. And then the next week, you have 30 minutes again. You say, I remember one of the tools we said was the beginning and the end. the top and the tail. Now we're going to look at, though we're in 1 Samuel right now, actually originally 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel were together in one book, now that we have them split in two. So we're going to think about a melodic line for 1 and 2 Samuel in that way. So we're going to look at first the top and the tail, the beginning and the end. So what I want you to do in just a second with your partners, we're going to look at the top, Hannah's song, 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 10, and then you're also going to look at 2 Samuel 22, 1 to 4, and 47 to 51, which is David's prayer at the end. So I want you to turn with your neighbor, look at those, and then look for, are there repeated ideas that you find in both places, or are there kind of complete contrasts, opposites? So repeated ones that are the same or opposites in those. All right? Turn to that with your neighbor. All right, guys. Let's gather together some of what you heard. So what are some things that are repeated both at the very beginning, 1 Samuel 2, and at the end, 2 Samuel 22? What did you see? And tell me, you know, the verse number. I saw this in verse 1. I saw this in verse 47. Whatever the case may be. What did you see? Okay? Okay, excellent. Perfect. Good? What else? Horn, yeah. Where do we see that? Horn. What verse? Yep, verse 1, verse 10. What about the end? Where do we see horn? Verse 3, 22, verse 3. Great, okay, good. We have rock, we have horn. What else? Okay, where do you see that? Okay, great. Good, what else? Okay, yeah, where do you see that? Okay. Okay, what else? Say it again. Anoint, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Excellent. Good. Anything else? Great. Good. End of time. Salvation in both. Excellent. Something. See again. Yeah, which verse did you have for end of the earth? Okay. Okay. Where was this, the verses for end of the earth, end of time? Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Great. There's a theme in both. It may not be actually be a word repeated, but a theme that's repeated in both. Okay? Yeah. Where do you see that? Good. Anything else? Kind of related theme we see is this sort of bringing down and raising up. That sort of same idea in both. The Lord brings down, the Lord raises up. So the way you would do this is you've just got a piece of paper, you've just jotted a bunch of these things down. You haven't solved anything yet, but you're like, I've taken a first step at it. Your 30 minutes are up. You have to go to your meeting, and so you go about your meeting. So then you begin to decide, okay, I got some of that stuff. There's some interesting things. There's a good amount of things that are repeated. Well, let me try to check out in the narrative, does that hold up? Some of these might maybe my hypothesis of how these things might be connected. So what I want you to do is look at 1 Samuel 1:1-28, at Hannah's life, in comparison to her words in 2:1-10. And then look at 2 Samuel 24. Look at David's life compared. And see, do these match up or contrast with what we're seeing in those songs, okay? Turn to your neighbor, look at 1 Samuel 1:1-28, 2 Samuel 24. And what do we see play out in Hannah's life? What do we see play out in David's life? So in chapter 1, 1 Samuel 1, in Hannah's life, what do we see happen in her life? Okay, yeah, the Lord answers her prayer. And if we were just by looking, would we think of Hannah as pride-filled or humble? Humble, so she's humble. And what becomes of her? She becomes what? Could we say she becomes exalted? She becomes lifted up. The humble Hannah is lifted up. The humble Hannah is exalted. In 2 Samuel 24, what do we see that happens in David's life? Yeah. So across the two books, David goes from what? The humble shepherd boy to king. But by the end, where is he? He's no longer humble David. He had become what? Prideful. And what happens? He's humbled, yeah. So proud David is humbled. Which we saw all the way back in Hannah's song, the Lord raises up. And the Lord brings down. And here are two examples of that. Humble Hannah, lifted up. Prideful David, who the Lord had brought up of all people, humbled because of his pride. Does that make sense? So you did a little bit of work on that. And let's say a few days later you have a little bit more time. And the way that we try to get at a melodic line, and we're doing this like in turbo, right, in our time together. This is a long project. It's not easy. And it doesn't happen just in a few minutes. But the way you get there is by making a variety of sort of provisional melodic lines, right? Just like a first draft at it. So what I want you to do now with your neighbor is begin to, based upon what we saw in the top and the tail, based on what we see in Hannah's life and David's life, just a first run at a provisional draft of a melodic line. And you're going to try to keep it to one sentence, and I don't mean like a Pauline sentence, right, that are more like a paragraph. So we're trying to be fair. I mean, it's lengthy because there's a lot you want to say, but take a first run at what might be a provisional draft of a melodic line, all right? And then we'll share a couple of those, and then we'll move forward, okay? Turn with your neighbor. What would be a provisional melodic line, just based on top and tail and what we see in the narrative of Hannah and David, all right? Turn to that. All right, let's take a stab at it. Let's see what you have. So feel free to like offer up your friend's melodic lines. Say, well, this is what he got. Raise it up there and give that to us. Sell him out if you have to. So this is a safe place. We're all in this together. So there's no bad answers. So what do you have? Give me a shot at a provisional melodic line. Just at this point, early on, what do you have? Okay, say it again. Okay. God exalts the humble and humbles the proud. Okay. Okay. What was the text you said, Mark? Okay. 23:12. Okay. Somebody else. That's what I heard. Good. You got you and then Jen. Okay. How would you say it? Sort of. I mean, as we. Okay, good. When I am making my own notes on this, and I go back 3 hours later, I'm often like, I can't read my own handwriting. I'm like, what was that? That was a good thought, but I can't even read it anymore. You see why that is. Janik, what do you have? Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge, right? Because there's all these key things. There's king, there's kingship, there's to try to tie all those together. Okay. Good. So we've made some, and we're not saying those are it. Okay. Hold on. Let me add another page here. Always be the rock of salvation for okay. Okay, there was one back. Somebody else said, oh, "Do you have one, Matt?" Okay. Okay. Is that you, Apostle Paul? Long. That's right, yeah. From Judges to Kings, Israel struggles, keep going, struggles to. Great. And there was one. Okay. Say it again. The God who reigns. Great. You're like the inverse of the paragraph, right? That's right. The shorter version. I like it. Excellent. So there we have, this is just some, you know, speculative provisional. Now, if you were to just sit down and read across 1 and 2 Samuel, you would see some repetition, some repeated phrases. And I'm going to give you these. You could have found these on your own. I want you to look with your partner and see what is being repeated across these two books. And then we'll consider, do we want to update our speculation on our melodic lines? So check these. What do you see? All right, I'm rushing you, I know, but what do we see? 1 Samuel 7:3, what do you see there? What happens?
Deliverance.
Who's delivered? Okay. Delivered from the Philistines. Israel's delivered. Okay, what about 1 Samuel 10:18? So Israel again, delivered from Egypt. Okay? 1 Samuel 17:37. Yep. And who's David delivered from? Yeah. Lion, bear, Goliath. Good. 1 Samuel 24:15. What happens there? Yeah, so David's delivered from Saul, right? 24:15. Yeah, not particularly that verse, but that whole story, right, as David is delivered from Saul. What about 2 Samuel? Second Samuel 18, what happens there? So David's delivered from enemies, right? And then 22. Yep, so he delivered again, right? So the king is delivered. David delivered from enemies. So what's this repetition we're seeing again and again and again? The Lord delivers, right? Delivers his people, delivers his king, delivers from enemies. And so you would have found that as you were working along. So you've got that, but then you also have your previous work here. You know, you'd come up with these various lines. Anything you'd say, okay, I want to take what we had there, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit, and based upon the repetition of deliver, or maybe say I'm going to scratch, and I want to come out with a whole new provisional melodic line. Anybody want to say, hey, I want to adapt mine, or I want to suggest a new one based on that important theme of deliverance? Apostle Paul, you want to edit? Good. Great. Okay. That's right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So you read this aloud because I, so the, so, From Judges to Kings, Israel struggles to obey the Lord, but God is faithful to them, delivers them, pointing to his perfect eternal king. Oh. Okay. You've given up the king. Okay, all right. So he would delete out the perfect eternal king. Okay, Matt, you had something? The humbling, exalting reign of our deliverer. Yeah? Good? Anything else? Now, as you do this, you're going to find like, oh, but there's this part. I've been in 1 Samuel, and there's this. So we've been in 1 Samuel in these various texts. So in your mind already, what about this note that you're kind of thinking about? Any notes that have just stuck out to you in 1 Samuel? It feels like that should be in here. Good? Okay, something about the anointed. Makes sense. So extra notes. Now what do we do with the anointed? What else? Okay. Okay. Okay, so not only humble, but something at the level of their hearts. Not humble, grateful. I mean, certainly it seems like, man, the king thing is so key again and again. It feels like, man, maybe kingship would want to be in there somewhere. So this is one of the dilemmas as you're working on it, right? And that's why you don't do this quickly. It takes time that you're going to craft it and recraft it and recraft it. But let's say, for the sake of our argument, we did some work and we settled on an adaptation of this one. And we settled on God is faithful to deliver, pointing to his perfect eternal king. Let's just say that we settle on that. Okay? But how does that help us beyond doing it ahead of time? Well, one, it provides a framework to examine any particular text. So we'd work together on 1 Samuel chapter 2, right? And what happens in 1 Samuel 2 with, or 1 Samuel 1 with Hannah, right? What might someone do with 1 Samuel 1, the story of Hannah, if we're not thinking about context at all? What might the sermon end up being about? Okay, your prayers are answered. God answers the prayers of those who are desperate. God provides babies to barren women. I mean, those are all good things. But if I know the melodic line that God faithfully delivers through his perfect eternal king, well, how does the Hannah episode connect to that? What part does Hannah's story play to this broader story? She's giving birth to who? Samuel, who's what? The kingmaker, right? And so this is not just some random story of an Israelite woman who's barren and desperate and prays and it's answered. Well, no, this is a part of how do we get to God delivering his people through this king? It has to come through Hannah. Does that make sense? So when I'm aware of the broader story of 1 and 2 Samuel, it's about God raising up a king who then paves the way for the greater eternal king who is to come, then I don't just take this one text out of context and miss the point of the story. Because the point of the story is the baby who comes, who paves the way for the king, and now that keeps me tethered to that. So at any given time, whatever chapter I'm in, I can always think through, okay, how does this relate to the melodic line? And if it's way off base, then I might have to rethink, maybe I'm missing the point of this chapter because it doesn't seem to fit within this melodic line of the book. Does that make sense? So the melodic line is a helpful safeguard for the pastor, because we want every sermon in a book to sound like that book. We don't want a sermon in 1 Samuel to sound like it actually belongs in Romans. And sometimes we're not careful. We who love Romans do that. Every sermon ends up sounding like Romans. So it needs to sound like, have the contour, the feel of 1 Samuel. And the way I know that is I have the melodic line of 1 Samuel to help me. Does that make sense? So this is a tool that you may or may not show to the congregation. That's a call you'll make, but it is, I know this about the book. And the fact is, in order to get to a melodic line, I just have to spend a lot of time in the book. And before I start preaching through a book of the Bible, I should just know that book myself. I've done some good work, so I have a feel for it. So we've not landed. It takes a long time. It's hard work to come up with a melodic line. But this is a helpful tool, a safeguard for us.